Discussions on this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Registered representative. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investments Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Bettendorf Financial Group and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Joining us on the Quad City Bank and Trust AD in the morning show, he is a ninja with numbers. He is a grabber of greenbacks. You punch him in the gut and investment earnings come out of his butt. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the Baron of Bendor Financial Group, Mr. Doug Weir. What's going on, Doug?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. I'm doing great. We're in the heat of tax season, but we're surviving. We're doing well.
Tomorrow, right? It's all due tomorrow?
Oh, God, yeah. Thank God. Yeah, it's all due tomorrow for those that are on time. For those of us who have filed extensions, we have a little further to go. But lots of questions, my friend, lots of questions coming in. And that's fine. That's why we're here.
Right. You know, I had somebody call earlier with a question for you. A dog from Port Byron called and asked, because last week we were talking about, you just made mention, I think, side mention of, that you don't really pay attention to the Dow Jones Index. And so this dog called and said, how come? Why doesn't he pay attention to the Dow? So you got some splaining to do, Doug Weir.
Yeah. And I asked that question very early on in my career because that's what we hear all the time on the news, the Dow. And the Dow index is really the reason I don't pay as much credence to it is it's made up of only 30 stocks. I mean, it's an index, but there's only 30 stocks that make it up, and over time, that index has changed over time, so they've companies have come and go from it. For example, a number of years ago, Kodak was in it. Kodak Film Company, remember them? Kodak was in it forever, but of course they dropped out and someone new dropped in. So the index is really only 30 stocks, and I don't find it representative of the overall market as much. Whereas the S&P, the Standard & Poor's 500, is made up of 500 stocks, and it's a little bit more, I think it's a little bit more representative of the overall market.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Well, that makes sense. I honestly didn't know that. I thought the Dow was all of the stocks on the exchange, all not the NASDAQ, but on the New York Times or the New York Stock Exchange. I thought it was all of them combined. I didn't know. I'm ignoramus.
Well, and that's, you know, it's a very common misconception. Also, there's a cost component. My understanding is that there, if you say the standard, use the term Standard & Poor's 500 on a newscast or a broadcast, other than here, of course, that you have to pay a fee to the Standard & Poor's for utilizing their index, especially if you're utilizing it live and not with some kind of a delay. They charge a fee. The same thing with the MSCI index, which is the Morgan Stanley Capital Index. That's another index like the Dow. The MSCI is Morgan Stanley and the Capital Group pay to put that service out. So they pay money to you do this index, and so they, of course, want to be reimbursed. But the Dow is just a freebie because it's out of, what is that called, like out of copyright with music and stuff? You can just say Dow all you want without paying for it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, well, that was a way to make themselves a prominent fixture, I guess.
Yes, very much so. And they were the first index, the family, the DuPonts in the Dow family. And the DuPonts, a lot of people don't realize, started Alcoa also. It wasn't just DuPont. It was the DuPont family was part of Alcoa also, the aluminum people. But anyway, I could go on all day about history.
Oh, yeah. Same. DuPonts are, they pop up in a lot of the history books that I've read. For various different things. But let's talk about the top story. Seems like every day here has been for the last couple of weeks, tariffs. So I think we're up to like 1,000% tariff on China now. I don't know. It just keeps going back and forth. Like, oh, yeah, well, I'll raise you to 145% tariff. Well, I'll raise you to 150. Whatever.
Exactly. It is.
So you were talking last week about our you're like a week ahead of the news, Doug Weir. That's what I figured out. So all these news outlets are reporting some of the stuff that you told us last week. According to the U.S. Department of Commerce, the U.S. imported $3.296 trillion in goods in 2024, but only exported $2.073 trillion, leaving us in a record high trade deficit of $1.2 trillion, which is an unsustainable pace, according to many economists, you being one of them. You called this. You said, hey, we're a trillion-dollar trade deficit. This is the problem. So the biggest trade deficit with any one country we have is China, $295.4 billion, which relates to every dollar China spends on U.S. goods. Customers are buying $4 worth of Chinese goods.
That's right.
Second biggest deficit is Mexico at $171.8 billion, Vietnam, $123.5 billion, then Canada, $63.3 billion. The 27-member European Union has a collective $235.6 billion trade deficit. So the U.S. is kind of really on the wrong end of everyone. Now, some members of the EU are now trying to negotiate their own trade agreements with the U.S. instead of doing it with the Union. Canada, Mexico, and China's economies are going to be hurting for certain if they don't get this figured out, because we're the ones buying all their stuff.
Amen. Absolutely. And that's, you're right. That's what I said, and I stand by it. I had people yelling at me after I got off the phone. It's not a billion. It's not $1 trillion. It's only 800 million or 800 billion. I'm like, come on.
Well, according to the U.S. numbers, Department of Commerce, it's 1.2 trillion.
Right. They had old news. The new news is, yeah, we have $1 trillion deficit. And think about what you just said. What are number two and number three? They're not even they're a fraction of what number one is.
Yeah.
So the big dog they were going after here was China, and the only way to get them to the table, apparently, was what he just did. And by him, you know who I mean, the Captain Chaos, the guy in charge.
Dun, dun, and, dun! We're getting Josephus, if you're listening, we need that clip from Cannonball Run of Dom DeLuise going, dun, 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 Captain Chaos, so we can play it when we talk to Doug Weir. I don't ask for much, but...
Well, Captain Chaos in charge, he's got them to the table, and he's got them discussing, he's got them at least shaking in their boots, because they realize they need us. They need us to dump their goods and services. And China's in a bit of a depression right now. They're having some problems. They don't need this right now. So their people are screaming, what are we going to do? It's interesting. He's got them to the table, and we've got to get this deficit changed. You're absolutely right.
Essentially, some of the stories I read over the weekend, they know they can only do this for so long. And that's not just China. Canada and Mexico as well. And I don't know what our situation with Vietnam is. They didn't really go into many details there. But if they don't figure this out, and I guess that's why so many people are looking to negotiate so readily and are happy to do that, because... I mean, their economy, they have catastrophe waiting for them if they don't do something, because they obviously need American dollars buying their goods. And, obviously Trump recognizes this. He's not obviously he's not getting invited to anybody's birthday parties probably from foreign leaders or anything like that. But I don't think he cares. And he's kind of come in that way. He said America first. That's what he's doing. And, I don't know. Like I say, it's taking a lot of people off, but I think I thought this was going to take longer than it is, Doug Weir, but they've got 95 countries already negotiating, better trade agreements for the U.S., which is a good sign. And they're not maybe these big five, but they all know they have to do this or, they're in serious economic trouble.
You're exactly right. The cash is cut off. And they need hard dollars. They need cash. The Chinese yuan, or however they say that, hit a low. It's back to 2016 lows. They're hurting. They're dramatic. They're 18 year lows. Excuse me. They're back to 2007 lows in the valuation of the Chinese dollar. They are hurting, and that in turn hurts Russia too, because Russia, the only trading partner they really have is China. They don't have much to trade with. They're trying to trade for hard dollars, and now they're losing their last partners. So Trump is pinching these people. Absolutely, he's pinching them much harder than people realize. Like, he might be a bully, but he's our bully, is what I tell people.
Yeah.
At least he's on our side.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've seen scattered stories. That's basically what I do after I leave here, typically. Well, today I go to the doctor because I put my back out lifting dog food yesterday, Doug Weir, so that makes you feel old.
Getting old, not for sissies, buddy.
That's the truth, man. I saw a lot. So there's like tons of port towns along the Gulf Coast and the Atlantic and Pacific Coast that this is helping them. And there's factories where people are like, this is great, because now they're getting orders for things that have normally being brought in from somewhere else. And so we are starting to see sprinkles of this manufacturing surge, if you will, that I think is the hope of the Trump administration of all of this pans out. We're going to have better agreements, but also we're going to bring more manufacturing back home. And, you know, I'm worried about farmers a little bit, because inputs are still really high. Tariffs may, I mean, they sell most of their stuff to Mexico and China, and so that's kind of complicates situations for them. Markets have held up so far, commodity markets. But overall, this appears, again, a little pain right now, but appears that this is trending in the right direction.
It certainly does. I wasn't sure what to expect of it all, but I've been listening to Scott Bessent more and more. He's our Treasury Secretary. He's a smart dude. He's a very sharp dude. And a lot of this architecture is really him of all this going on. He's the one that was trying to get these different countries to the bargaining table. I heard him this weekend on the talk shows. He's impressive. He's a very impressive Treasury Secretary. I like to listen to him.
Go ahead. No, you're fine.
I just saying he's got good input, and I believe, you know, a lot of people say Trump's doing this and Trump's doing that. I think he surrounded himself with some extremely smart people that know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, we can only hope. That's for sure. I saw the Department of Government Efficiency is getting a New York judge ruled they could go ahead and go into the Treasury Department and start poking around in there now and running the books there, which it seemed like a lot of people were not happy about that. So that'll be interesting to see what they unearth there.
Absolutely. And my understanding is they found some things in Social Security where money was circled back to Washington. I'll be very interested to see if they find out any skullduggery going on there.
Oh, well, I mean, you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to see some people in handcuffs let out of buildings is what I want. I want to start seeing some arrests because this bothers me, man. This was theft. This was theft of our tax dollars being used for nefarious purposes. Like, you can't tell me there wasn't criminal activity going on.
Oh, well, definitely. I mean, you know, like I said, all these things that we've cut, you know, the $12 million for the promotion of alpaca farming in Peru and, you know, the various wacky things that they found. I would love to know how many of this $12 million actually got to Peru to help alpaca farming. You know what I mean? Right. How thick is that bureaucratic filter? What'd they get, $12 out of the $12 million? I mean, what, you know what I mean? It's like, how much do you really get? And then the whole Social Security thing where they found that 5.5 million immigrants coming across the border during the Biden administration were just automatically given the Social Security cards and all the benefits that came with it. 1.3 million were automatically signed up into Medicaid. And all of the default settings in the computers were set to maximum pay. And then you got people struggling to pay their mortgage because their property taxes and their homeowners insurance is running them out of being able to afford to buy, you know, have a home. And we're giving all these tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars to these immigrants just coming across the border, I guess, with hopes. The hope was apparently with the past administration that they would find a way for these folks to get to vote. But the only states that went for that were, you know, manure sandwiches like Illinois, where they're going to do it anyway. But it doesn't matter. They just may, you know, like Governor Pritzker's just getting mud thrown on our face as a state in speaking nationally because we're going to, you know, Illinois is going to vote Democratic anyway. So what's right. The only states that are letting let immigrants vote were the ones that were going to be Democratic anyway. So did you really gain anything by that? Instead, they just sort of cast this massive shadow or shade over what they did. And they're pushing their party further and further away from reality and further away from votes and from people wanting them to be in power, because that was crazy.
It was crazy. And that, you're right, they were looking for constituents. They were importing constituents to vote for them. We hand them lots of money and tell them to vote this way.
Yeah.
They'll vote this way. Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, the bottom line is that what they did was all the states, the swing states, all went to the right because of what they were, you know. I mean, that was one of the worst plans ever executed by the Democratic Party. What are you doing? You know, I think our country's better with two strong parties. And right now, we just don't have that.
No, we don't. I agree with you. And I grew up in a household. My dad was a union steward and helped run the elections out at Alcoa.
Sure.
And, I grew up in that household where we went in and pulled the lever on the left. But this isn't a party that I recognize. It's changed so much. A buddy of mine and I talk about it almost every day. We talk about politics and stuff. He's very left wing, and I'm more centrist, libertarian. And he and I discuss, you know, what the heck happened to our party on the left. When growing up as kids, both our dads were very involved with the party, and now I don't think either one of our dads would recognize it. Sad.
Yeah, that's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. when he gave his speech that he wasn't going to run for president anymore. Have you ever read that?
I don't think I have.
Oh, you should read it. It's very good. But he talks about how the Democratic Party he grew up with as a kid isn't even, he has no idea where it went, but it's not here anymore. This is not the Democratic Party that he knew or understood, and that was why he was leaning towards Trump after he decided he wasn't going to run. But yeah, that's worth 10 minutes of your time, Doug. We'll read that. It's pretty good. It was in the River City's Reader, 6 months ago, maybe, or something. They printed the whole thing. But it's,
I'll look for it.
Yeah, it's very good. Sure, yeah, just Google it. I'm sure you pop it right up. But it's very good.
They're going after him right now. They're going after him right now. He's got some dirty laundry with the Kennedy curse of women, apparently.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know, and they're trying to take down people in the administration like they did last time with General Flynn, but apparently RFK Jr. is the candidate that I'm hearing that they might try to go after first, so pay attention, everybody.
Well, I mean, how much money is it going to cost Big Pharma, with him around? It's not a good, they don't like him. And so if they're going to spend their lobby dollars somewhere or whatever other dollars they might have in mind for him, you'd hate to see, if I could just imagine what the hit list looks like, you'd figure Trump, then Musk, then probably RFK Jr. For people that could possibly have bullets flying at him. So, yeah, hopefully he avoids that part of the Kennedy curse.
No doubt. And my understanding is though that they're trying to protect him, but that they're trying to go after him for past indiscretions. And, if you can't pound the facts, you pound the table, as they say, and they're trying to pound the table right now. I mean, last time we had Russian collusion with General, what was it, Flynn? Yeah, General Flynn, that he supposedly was a Russian collusion, which wasn't. And so now they're going after RFK. So we shall see. I hope, I'm hopeful that they'll get more of this cutting done, and they'll figure out where some of the scams going. I know they were at Social Security, and hopefully they'll find where the money's going. I know OMP is a mess, and I would love to have the Office of Management and Personnel fixed. We deal with a lot of Arsenal personnel and retiring government personnel, and it's a nightmare to get somebody retired. I'm hopeful that they'll speed that process up and modernize it.
Stop using
right
the mine.
Stuck in the 50s.
Yeah, stop handwriting everything and using the mine. You got to go up and down a mine shaft.
Yep. Yeah. It's a nightmare right now, and some of the stuff is still, well, most of it's still paper. You can't get scanned images of stuff. It's pretty ridiculous.
That's what they said. Just why was, and they said they've spent tens of millions of dollars on a few different occasions trying to modernize it or do something with it, and they just couldn't figure it out. So I wonder what happened to that money. But anyway, as the world turns, Doug Weir.
Yep, we're getting there, and people are starting to maybe accept the fact there was some wastage. Even Bernie Sanders, I heard him talking about it, like, well, maybe it's good we're finding this wastage. I'm like, yeah, you've railed about it for years, you and Rand Paul and the others. Let's cut it out of there. Let's return it to the American taxpayer instead of making us pay it out. I got a call this morning before our chat here about someone that needed a significant amount of money transferred their checking account so they could pay their taxes.
Oh, wow.
As he was telling me, he was tears were on the other end of the phone.
Oh, man. That's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
That's no fun.
Transfer $400,000 to my checking, Doug.
Wow.
Painful. Yep. Wow. Painful.
Wow. People have so much more money than me. Anyway. Doug Weir, as always, much appreciate your time, sir, and all the knowledge you shared. I don't even really know what we talked about today, but it was a good conversation.
Well, we talked about this and that and the other thing.
That's right. Little less talk and a lot more action. Anyway, you take care, buddy. Have a great week.
Right,
we'll sure look forward to having you back on next Monday. And who knows, maybe I'll get some more people that have questions for you, too. That's kind of fun.
I do. I like questions. Call in, people.
All right. Thanks, Doug. Have a good one.
Bye now.
See ya. Here we go with this disclaimer.
Discussions on the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Registered representative. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investments Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Bettendorf Financial Group and Cambridge are not affiliated.